We're hearing of more cases of fraud and corruption by troops and contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan. Most of the cases focus on areas of reconstruction. The Defense Department's Inspector General has said he's investigating 223 cases, and that's an 18% increase from a year ago. Well, joining us now live in studio is the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction, Stuart Bowen. Good morning. Thanks for being in here with us this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It's great to see the face behind this voice we've had on so many times. Now, you are Iraq Reconstruction.
That's right.
But we're going to talk a little bit about Iraq and Afghanistan. So this uptick in cases, is this something that we should have expected now?
Yes, because it takes a while to develop an investigative case. The reality is that people were loath to come forward for years in Iraq because it's a very dangerous place. They feared for their lives if they did. Time has lightened that threat a bit. And as a result, our caseloads increased. But the main thing that's pushed it up is our forensic financial initiative that we began 18 months ago. It's an interagency effort, part of a congressional mandate we were given, and it has just in the last 6 months virtually doubled our caseload.
So it's not necessarily that there is more corruption per se. It's that we're able to find it.
That's
and
correct.
By we, I mean you.
That's correct. Iraq was exclusively a cash environment for the first 5 years of the reconstruction program. What we found, and I can't go into details, but what we found is as that cash has eventually come back to the states through electronic means, we've been able to identify some of its movement and identify some of the persons who have been engaged in its money laundering, if you will, and that has yielded some fruitful cases.
Yeah, you mentioned forensic analysis of financial transaction. What's that all about?
That means we have auditors and investigators working together with IRS agents and others from the Defense Criminal Investigative Service and the Army Criminal Investigative Division, and as a result, this multi-purpose team has been able to piece together cases that we otherwise individually could not have come up with.
Taking a look at historically these problems that you've had to deal with, are you finding that, well, clearly there are more of them now because you're finding them, but are they bigger? Are they smaller? Are they kind of nitpicky? Are they enormous? Give me a sense of scale of, are they getting worse or are they getting better?
Some are very large involving companies. As a matter of fact, we have some cases, really the first cases we've had that may yield convictions of fairly large companies. So that's at the big end. At the smaller end of the spectrum, the Commander's Emergency Response Program, a cash program that gave, brigade commanders money to spend in the field, some local paymasters as part of that program apparently succumbed to the temptation of so much cash sitting in front of them and pilfered it. And we have now been able to track some of that pilfering and begin to prosecute it.
And there's also been evidence of bribery, too, right, in turn for getting contracts or giving contracts, rather. Some officers have taken bribes.
That's right. Our largest cases, one out of Al-Hilla, which is where Babylon is, and a large scheme down in Kuwait that was coordinated across Iraq, were both chiefly bribery cases.
Are we talking about $50, $5,000, $50 million? Give us a scale.
Millions of dollars.
Do you even waste your time with the little $1,000 here, $150 there kind of things?
Not at that low, but when it gets to the tens of thousands, we pursue it.
And our guest today is Stuart Bowen. He's Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. Now, early on, the report showed contractors wasting, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars for work that was not performed or work that was shoddy. And I think it was the Wartime Commission came out.
Yes.
And said that there was a lack of contractor officer representatives on site to oversee. Has the tone and tenor of the types of misuse, fraud, and abuse changed with time?
Well, the commission is exactly correct in identifying waste as the chief culprit of loss of U.S. taxpayer dollars in Iraq. Fraud is egregious, but it's not where the big money has gone down the drain. Because of the security problem, because of corruption on the Iraqi front, because of a constant change in programs and plans, U.S. taxpayer dollars were wasted. Billions. I've estimated $4 to $5 billion in waste over the last 6 years. That's unacceptable, even in a difficult situation like Iraq. And what I'm focused on now, what the commission has been focusing on in its hearings this year is not just the fact of that waste, but how do we fix it? And my proposal, in a recent report that my office has issued is to create an entity within the United States government that has the responsibility, and the capacity to plan and execute a contingency relief and reconstruction operation and be accountable. We don't have that today.
And the irony there is that under the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the capability of doing things in an emergency, even sole sourcing and no-bid contracts, the ways to do that legally and fairly do exist, but there doesn't seem to be the expertise to be able to execute on authority that the government already has.
Exactly right. Unfortunately, a decision was made about 15 years ago to reduce the contracting corps within the Pentagon and across the government, and we're paying the price for that today.
Now, money is, of course, the big factor here. This isn't an issue of ideology or the bad guys wanting to try to usurp what it is the good guys are trying to do, depending on where you stand on that. It's all about the money. I mean, people can be bought, really, right?
Well, corruption is a huge problem in Iraq, but chiefly on the Iraqi side of the equation. 99% of the U.S. Personnel that served in Iraq, I think, served honorably. A very small percentage violated their trust. But the big issue, along with corruption today, and it's a money issue again, Amy, is services. And 19 people were wounded and one killed in the last 2 days because of protests across Iraq about lack of electricity. And we spent $5 billion trying to build their electricity grid up. The Iraqis have spent more than double that, at least that's what they say. The result is not enough for the Iraqi people, and the result is that they have to live off of black market energy provided by local generators who charge them more than they can afford, and thus they hit the streets.
So where's the disconnect? Why is this so hard, especially when it comes to the utilities and those services?
Well, I think there is a real connection between corruption and the provision of services. What the Iraqis say they're spending and what they actually spent, as I learned during my last trip to Iraq just a month ago, is very weak. And in fact, I think that there are significant pots of money, if you will, that agencies have squirreled away when in fact they say they've been spending that money for projects.
So it's more lucrative to do it the black market way.
Well, the black market is frankly just a gap filler, because without those generators, those privately run and provided generators, there would be no air conditioning anywhere for the most part across Baghdad. And the real problem is in the south. The overarching issue that Iraq has to solve, we can't solve it. We tried to help them with it, didn't get done, is distribution of power. And up in Kurdistan, things are fine. I was in Sulaymaniyah 6 months ago, and there's no sign of a war. There's no sign of destitution like there is down in Basra in the deep south, which is still very much in a state of disrepair. And frankly, the citizens of that city do not get the services they need.
Well, let's look at the bigger picture here. Now, you have a pretty good record now of investigations, and there's a body of work here. Is that the work you have done in Iraq, is that getting translated over as kind of here's what to watch for and look for to the crew that's looking at all of these issues in Afghanistan?
It is. We've produced 5 lessons learned reports over the last 5 years. Hard lessons is the most significant one, put out last year, a 330-page compendium on everything that happened and didn't happen and should have happened in Iraq. And then this year we put out a report on how to manage these programs better. Are they getting translated sufficiently into Afghanistan? No, but lessons are in a targeted way being applied. Can they be applied better? Yes.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for that insight. It's been great having you in studio, and we'll have you back as this develops, because I think it's safe to say even though the troops may leave, that doesn't mean the United States is going to be not involved with Iraq for a long, long time.
That's exactly right. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.